Subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Kana Siddiqan wa Nabiya. And he was a Siddiq and a prophet. He was a Siddiq and a Nabi, proving that every single prophet is a Siddiq, i.e. a Wali of Allah. But not every Wali is a prophet. But that thing that they share, that the awliya share, they actually share it with the prophets, wilaya. In their case, in the awliya's case, it's a wilaya which is general and which is not specific to rank. They can never go to the rank of the prophets, but they share the same drink. It is the same mashrub from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just don't ever are able to get to those ranks, and that's closed forever with the khatam of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Coming back to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the Shaykh al-Akbar says he's a khatam of general wilaya. After Isa alayhi salam comes, generally wilaya will be cut off, and he will die when the beautiful, sweet breeze comes through along with all of the believers, and there'll be nothing left except the rabble and people like beasts. And then you get closer to Qiyamah. Proof that this world only exists because of the presence of the men of Allah. Because of the presence of the awliya, the world exists. They are the rukans, they are the qutubs, they are the poles around which the world is actually held in place. When they go, all that will be left, when wilaya goes, when the Prophet ﷺ left, there was no more prophethood, no more nabuwa. Everyone can lament as much as they want. No human, no jinn will ever, ever enter the ranks of prophethood and nabuwa and will ever have that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they did. It's just, that's just how it is. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things. As-sabikun, as-sabikun. That those who go ahead, al-muqarribun, those who are drawn near. And then the people of the right, and then the people of the left. There are degrees. There are degrees in everything. Awliya are not like everyone else. People will say, now, these are just men. They, God forbid, say even the Prophet ﷺ is a man like us. And that's why these people have led us into utter destruction, being humiliated by our enemies. Because nobody, no person would have ever been able to defeat a Muslim if we had maintained adab towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because that's gone, we're going to be humiliated everywhere. Maulana says, as an example about the adab, that because few people recognize the rights of the awliya, because of them the world will be set on fire. And they're not just like men. He says, for example, he gives a teaching story of a parrot in a greengrocer's. So the greengrocer owns the parrot. And the parrot is beautiful and it speaks to all of the people who come into his shop. It entertains, he loves the parrot. One day the parrot spills some oil and it ruins some merchandise. So the master of the shop slaps the parrot hard, so hard that it goes bald at the top of its head. The parrot goes into sorrow and stops speaking. Afterwards, the master laments and he says, what have I done to my sweet voiced bird that she's now completely turned away from me? She doesn't say anything. He's getting more and more upset, repenting, trying to make up with the parrot, giving her gifts, everything. One day, a dervish walks past a monk who shaved his head, bald patch his head, and the parrot starts laughing and says, oh, you, sir, Did you too spill oil in your shop? Because Maulana says, because you're thinking that he's like you. Don't think that men are like men. Don't think that everyone is the same. Outwardly, you may look the same, but you're not the same. The verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which alludes to this. Unfortunately, I'm a bit unlettered when it comes to these things, but the ayah is that we send the rain, and from it, you get pasture, green foliage, and you also get the barren land. It came from the same rain, but you get two completely different things. As in a similitude, as an example for you, that you take from the same possibilities that are given. Maulana says, a deer, two types of deer eat from the same grass. For one of them, all you get is dung, and for one of them, you get the sweetest musk. They might look the same, two people outwardly may be doing the same things, may even look like they're in the same states, but there is a world of difference. Both people saw Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One became Umar al-Khattab al-Farooq, and the other is Abu Lahab. But they saw the same thing. That thing that you take, that divine secret that is given to you, what remains to be seen is what your outcome is from that. No two are the same. So don't look to other shaykhs. Don't look left and right. Look to where your house is, to your door, where you've entered. Not to change his outward state, e.g. in dress code, subha, simple shoes, stick, etc. When people take tariqa, they leave luxuries and wear simple things. They should not leave these until they are permitted to do so. These codes are for full-time reads, i.e. those living in a zawiya. So not particularly relevant, but from the point of view that just dress the way the sheikh wants you to dress. 38. When the murids sit for their muzakara, they leave a place for their sheikh empty, so that if he attends his madad, his spiritual assistance goes throughout and through the halakha. Even if he does not attend, you should embrace the adab as though he is present. This elevates the states of murids. Again, this starts looking very weird in the modern age. If every time you sit in a zikr gathering, you have an empty seat. More particularly, it is in the case of a zawiya, where it's your own people, and it's your shaykh attends regularly. Because this is you hear about this, where people criticize the Sufis a lot, and some people do it, they have public gatherings, and they leave an empty chair for their shaykh, and they say, our shaykh is coming. Whether he comes or not, who knows? His spiritual mother's coming. I'm sure, alhamdulillah, the spiritual mother, if it's a true tariqah, the spiritual mother and the shaykh will come. How that happens, again, is a private thing. It's for the people, and this is why I don't personally like the hadra being done in a public place, unless it's in a place like Damascus, where all the locals understand, because it's been done for generations. But you do it here, like we did in the High Wycombe Mosque once, and the others are like, what is this? What are they doing? This is wrong, Because it's not for them. This is the opinion of Sayyidina Ghawth Abu Mahdi and Shuaib, the sheikh of Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Shazi, that the hadra should be done behind closed doors, alluding back to that secretness. This is not a secretness that this is something that we have which is outside of Islam. It's because we've got the treasures of Islam. It's because we've been given access to the uncut jewel, and our job is to polish it and to look after it and nourish it. My precious, if you remember that. It's the same thing. It's that wanting to keep that thing for yourself, but without giving it to the people who are worthy of receiving. When the murids sit for their muzakara, they leave a place for their sheikh empty. 39. When the murids gather in the zawiya without the presence of the sheikh, they should prepare his place and act as though he's amongst them. Again, slightly out of place if you're going in a setting where there's other people, so you be aware of the situation you're in. And again, I would suggest that this is in a zawiya that the Sheikh has actually established. If they are with the Shaykh in some place and the Shaykh leaves, his place should remain empty. The whole universe is like a zawiya. Your zawiya is your hadra, your presence with Allah Most High. The Khalifa of the Shaykh may sit in the Shaykh's place with the permission of the Shaykh. It is obligatory to respect the place where the Shaykh sits. What about the rights of the body of the Shaykh? This actually is relevant, because it's talking about the Shaykh who's actually entered the gathering and then leaves. So if you're in a gathering and the Shaykh leaves, don't occupy his place. This would be no barak, it could be the opposite for you. If you don't have reverence for the Shaykh, stay away from him. Don't go transgress the boundary. The whole universe is like a zawiya. Zawiya is your hadra with Allah Most High. And that, subhanAllah, is the purpose of our existence. The hadra, the divine presence. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything upon it is perishing. Wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. Except abides the face of thy Lord, the countenance of thy Lord. Glorious, majestic. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Before that, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. To Allah belongs the East and the West. Whichever way you turn, there is the countenance of Allah Most High. Everything. وَهُوَ إِلَهٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَإِلَهٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And He is Allah, the Lord, in the heavens and upon the earth. This level of gnosis, this level of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the goal. That we created you in order to be to worship us, to know us. That every moment you worship. When your outer body, for example, is restricted from worship, what did the angels say on the Day of Judgment? Was the earth not big enough to migrate? And what is it like for the spirit? The Shaykh al-Akbar says, "Wa ardu Allahi wasi'a." And the earth of Allah is vast, therefore worship Him. So the Shaykh al-Akbar says you will reach a place in your spiritual path where your spirit will enter this world, this barzakh world, which is also around us, the ard wasiya, the vast earth, which is imperceptible to you and I, but exists, and you will enter that and be praying. And this is the secret behind sometimes when you start seeing the separation of the Shaykh's spirit from his body. When you start to see his mithil, his spiritual similitude, coming in different places. There's a brother who was working in Al-Quds and saw Shaykh Muhammad coming by him. Okay, Shaykh Muhammad wasn't in Al-Quds, he was in Sharm el-Sharif at that time, I think. May he be able to go back quickly, swiftly, inshallah. So that was the mithil, the similitude of his spirit, which is grown. He said to the Majid and I once, he said, in these days, my spirit is going everywhere in the universe. It is flying everywhere. And the test would have been to prove it, because the Shaykh could, as we said earlier, could have flown, could have transported there, that is possible in body as well as spirit. Shaykh Muhammad himself said, and it's confirming the words of the Shaykh al-Akbar, that what you do in that situation is if you go to the person and shake his hand or speak to him, he, if he's in his mithil form, if it is the mithil of his spirit, won't respond to you. Because he's not actually there. But if he's there in his body, he will respond to you.